Hey, Al McCoy here, and you are listening to the Solar Panel, the Phoenix Sun Show.
All right, we are live. Welcome to the Solar Panel. I'm your new host for this one. Dave King had to sit this one out. I know he had surgery recently, and I think he's currently out of town for this one too. So apologies for not having a show last week. But today we got some good guests and a topic going over a fan favorite, Robert Sarver. I'm sure everyone's anxious to get this one out of the way. So we'll start with Mr. John Voida from Suns Jam Session. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Brandon?
Not too bad. excited to start at 9 a.m. instead of 8 since Dave isn't here. That's the best part of the show.
I agree.
And then we got PLR from the Sports Cave. How you doing?
What's going on? You got to be nice. Old people need time to heal. So, he may be on the IR for like 7-8 weeks. You don't recover like you used to when you're a young guy. So shout out to the old dude.
All right. Well, we can just get started. Obviously, everyone knows by now the Sarver situation has been going on since last November. It's just the never ending story. And, there's a lot of silence in between, but recently we finally had some, the bombshell kind of drop with Baxter Holmes reporting that the NBA suspended Sarver for 1 year. And, there's going to be a $10 million fine. He can't be involved with the organization at all. So just kind of walk me through PLR. What was your first take when you saw that tweet pop up from Shams?
Okay, so I don't know if you remember, Zona, but when this first went down, you guys had me on, and I said he's going to get a slap on the wrist because there's no live video. It's completely different from the Clipper organization. And so, unfortunately, when you get a he said, she said, he said, she said, even though there may be a preponderance of the evidence that that shows that he's guilty, owners are very reluctant, and you got to remember, Adam Silver is going to, he's going to take more of this heat, and owners can say they didn't really know. I don't buy that bullcrap whatsoever, but owners are really reluctant without a live gun to say we're going to remove an owner because they all have skeletons in the closet. There's no way you get that status without having skeletons. If they all start removing people without the gun sitting there loaded on camera, then it can happen to all of them. Look at what happened with Cuban. There was nothing on video. He got off light for what he allowed to happen in his organization. So honestly, it didn't surprise me that he got a year. What surprises me is him almost not just taking the bullet and saying, the NBA got me, I apologize. There's a lot of dumb things that I did in the past. Over the last 18 years, I've learned from them. I hope everyone just takes my sincere apology. Going forward, I will do what's right. Instead of now fighting it and making himself look more like an ass. So am I surprised? I guess that's the long answer. I'm not surprised that he fought. I'm not surprised that the NBA slapped him on the wrist. But I am surprised that there's starting to be so much backlash, which I'm happy for. I'm just surprised it happened so fast, especially from the people that it's coming from. So sorry for the long answer.
No, that was great. How about you, John?
I'm kind of with PLR. I wasn't surprised with the decision. Jalen Rose mentioned this yesterday, and I thought it was interesting. It was the timing of when this came out that kind of caught me off guard, right? I mean, we've been referencing this story that Baxter Holmes released for nearly a year now. And we've kind of asked throughout the entire offseason, like, when are we going to finally hear? Oh, results are coming. They're right around the corner. Like, check your mailbox. Go outside. Walk down the street. Check the mailbox. Maybe it's out there. No one knew when the decision was coming. And then all of a sudden, after football begins, and the majority of, sport fans are distracted and checking their fantasy lineups, here on a Tuesday morning, they just kind of, that Robert Sarver decision, we squared that one away. And, I think that, again, it just kind of shows you how the league operates. And it was it was frustrating to see kind of what the fine was, what the suspension was. Just because, again, you know, we all, I work in corporate America. I know some of you guys have as well. And I could never get away with anything like that, nor would I want to. But I mean, just to see the, like imagine you're one of the people, one of the victims here, somebody who actually had to endure this abhorrent behavior, this misogynistic culture that Robert Sarver has, you know, built there with the Suns. And you're like, oh, great. Sweet. He's going to be gone. Oh, it's only for a year. I mean, how does that make people feel? And I think that, you know, kind of to PLR's point, it's understandable from the NBA standpoint due to the fact that the owners are, you know, people with that much money. Some of them do very, very deplorable things and have a lot of skeletons in their closet. Unless you have like a Donald Sterling, you know, phone message to ultimately be the nail in your coffin, this can still be construed in some way, shape, or form as hearsay. Now, what's great is we actually have some facts of what was said relative to Robert Sarver. What they say, like 80,000 hours of interviews, 320 people, something along those lines. So there was a lot of effort that went into this independent investigation. But to see the result of, you know, the findings compared to what the actual suspension / fine would be, it didn't make sense. And as I'm sure we'll discuss a little bit, kind of how the dominoes are starting to fall, I'm impressed. I'm happy that all of a sudden this decision turned us all into Greta Rogers. And we're all just kind of like everybody who has been anti-Sarver has a voice. And now we're seeing the political pressure. We're seeing the societal pressure. We're seeing the financial pressure. And all these different levers are kind of being pulled in an effort to finally say, hey, this isn't okay, especially in a league that preaches equality. It's the backbone of the fiber of the culture of this league to preach equality, to have somebody who is in a position of power and in one of their organizations to go forth and say derogatory terms about people, misogynistic terms. You can't allow that to happen. And, you know, I think it's great that people are finally kind of saying enough is enough with Robert Sarver. The guy's an equal opportunity asshole. And even, you know, as PLR mentioned, even in his statement, he couldn't just, you know, the blueprint for this, we've seen it all, you know, for the past 5 years, the blueprint for somebody who made a mistake. I mean, you could literally just go read like what Kevin Hart had put out following, you know, the whole Grammy fiasco. You can literally read that line by line and people are like, okay, listen, you know, it's unfortunate, but we forgive you. But he had to be he had to throw a little bit of that Sarver asshole into his statement. And it's just par for the course for him. And I think it's time that, you know, hashtag Sarver out becomes a real thing. Sorry for my long answer.
No, those are both great. A lot of awesome points made there. And I think one thing I kind of want to circle back to that I think a lot of people forgot about was before the original story even broke, Jordan Schultz actually leaked the story before Baxter Holmes had a chance to, you know, have it all come out at once. So I think that gave Sarver time to defend himself a little bit and prepare a defense. And that was just something that I was thinking about the other day, just because of how this whole situation kind of slowly unraveled and just the whole legal mess. I think Silver knows, you know, if they did try to a lifetime ban, that's going to be a never ending legal battle. So I was always obviously disappointed by how the league handled it. And I think right now, just the way that whole press conference, I don't know if you guys saw that. It was just kind of a joke. A lot of, you know, word garbage and just, you know, hypocritical statements, I think, from Silver that didn't line up with the league when they typically make decisions like this or talk on issues like this. So, I was pretty disappointed in all that. But at the same time, this is good news for Suns fans, because I think it's the domino effect is starting where we're finally going to get Sarver out. And, you know, it'd be one thing I could see, you know, if he was a great owner and people loved him and this came out, if fans might start defending him, even despite seeing all the stuff he did. But I think at this point we're kind of all in agreement. This guy's a piece of shit and this story dropped and it just only adds to the fuel. So, you know, I'm just excited for this process to get rolling. And, you know, obviously the report that came out found that he said the N-word at least five times, made sex-related inappropriate comments about physical appearance of females, inappropriate physical conduct towards men. And there's over 320 people a part of this investigation and 80,000 documents reviewed. So it's a pretty damning report when this many people line up with these stories. So overall, it was just, you know, it was a lot of stuff to read through, but, you know, disappointing to kind of see the overall results of it. So PLR, what do you think the domino effects are going to look like these next few weeks?
You know what? I think it's funny because now we have other owners, you know, part owners of the Suns coming out, making their statements, saying what they're going to say. I think the NBA is working backwards on this one. And I'm going to call this the Jedi mind trick. If the NBA comes out and says, we're looking to suspend him, we're looking to do this, we're looking to do that. Like you said, there's a backlash. Now he's suing and they're suing and everybody's suing and everything is tied up. If you just let me do it like this. Let me give an example. When I was a little kid, I said a cuss word on my block growing up in Chicago. Now, I knew the neighbor heard me down the street. I knew she heard me. So I was like, oh, crap, she's going to rat me out. So when she saw my mom, she didn't just say I heard him cursing. What she said was, oh, I didn't know that he knew those words. So by her saying it like that, that's where the backlash came. By the NBA doing it like this, they don't have to do it. The pressure will come internally now. And that movement will come to push him out. And then that's an easier movement because when you have his business partner saying, hey, my man, we're going to lose PayPal. We're going to lose this. We're going to lose that. They don't want to lose their money and their prestige. So that is where the pressure is going to come from. But I'm going to say something that's not too popular, and I don't really care because that's how I roll. I am surprised that people are surprised that older, rich, or older, from depending on where they came from, white people have ever used the N-word. And I'm almost starting to get upset that people are pretending that they're upset that someone has used that word. So to me, that's all part of the farce of the whole thing. When Paula Deen was caught saying that or had said it in the past, an old Southern white lady from the South was heard saying that word once. Oh my God, I'd be more surprised if she never said it. So I'm more upset that this happened. Upset he said it because I'm not surprised that he said it. Hell, if we're really just being honest about it, a lot of times music gives carte blanche to everybody to say stuff because they can just say they're saying it in a song. What surprises me is someone of his magnitude not having enough common sense to know that you don't insult minorities at work with certain words. You don't insult women at work with certain words. You don't make women feel less important for the job they do. You don't pay them the same and you don't treat them the same. I find that more offensive than saying this is what he said, because if we're all honest and we walked around with the mic all day and interactions with our friends, all of us would be up Schitt's Creek at some point in time for something we said. I just find it amazing that this man has created the wealth that he's created and has ascended to where he's ascended without the common sense to know I can't be a complete asshole at work because it's not cool.
Preach. Preach, PLR. That was on point. You know, 100%. I completely agree. It's, you know, the locker room mentality, right? Like, everybody's been a part of a locker room mentality. And if, like you said, if they had a microphone in there, no one in this world would have a job, you know, because people suck at times. But the fact that he is a leader in this position and he thinks that it's okay to carry on with this behavior. And again, that's why I call him an equal opportunity asshole. He does that to everybody. You know, I don't know Robert Sarver personally. I don't hang out with him. You know, I have a couple friends who've been around him in different situations and have kind of fortified that he is exactly what this report came through, and you know, the actions taken are definitely aligned with kind of who this guy just is as an individual. So yeah, no, I'm with you, PLR, there. I think it's a great point.
Yeah, and John, I have someone that I know is very close with Sarver that, you know, goes on like family vacations with him and all this stuff. And he said, everything you've heard about Sarver is true. So mm-hmm. when I heard that, you know, and this was like last year. So I think this lines up with kind of who we knew he was this whole time. So I'm not in the category of being shocked at any of this stuff, just by being a Suns fan, kind of being around the organization pretty much my entire life. So it's just disappointing that he's been able to like string this along this far. So,
well, and it's interesting, you know, how PLR brought up, you know, kind of the way that the NBA handled it from almost a passive aggressive yeah. stance, which makes sense. You know, it's business and you have to kind of cover your own good, bad, or indifference, just the way the world operates. You know, yeah. I mean, we've all had to work in personal relationships and you know the people you work with, and sometimes they don't carry their end of the weight. And when the corporate brass comes down, you know, I'm not just going to be like, oh, well, they didn't do their job, you know, but you have to kind of hold them accountable, and there's got to be strategic ways to do it. So, again, I think that's a valid point as well. You can't just come right out and be like, he's out of here, because for all the different precedents that could set, things of that nature. But knowing that we live in a society where a lot of people have a voice now. I mean, we're on podcasts. I don't know if anybody cares what we say, but we have a voice. A lot of people have a voice. A lot of money, obviously, deals with the NBA. Knowing that the societal pressures, the economic pressures, and the political pressures, even with like the city of Phoenix making their statements, those are the kind of things that the NBA, I think, was kind of banking on. And kind of how Adam Silver, what you said, you know, a lot of word garbage is true, but he was kind of setting everything up for those different levers to start to be pulled.
Yeah. And the first lever was LeBron's tweet. I think that kind of opened the floodgates a little bit. Chris Paul shortly after, and everything else, which we'll touch on in a little bit. But so Sam Garvin was actually named as the interim governor, and he's a minority owner that actually backed Sarver's statement defending him last year when this initial report came out. So that shows that he had a direct say in picking that interim governor. So PLR, what are your thoughts on the decision to go with Garvin there?
Nothing surprises me, to be honest with you. I mean, look, we'd said before the show even started, there are people that are going to be sympathetic for what he's going through. I mean, if you're a friend of Sarver, I'm going to go back to do birds of a feather flock together. If you're in the media and you're trying to passively defend him, Why? The one thing that I don't like, and I'll be honest, I'm going to answer this question first. If that's who he picks, that's who he picks. What can we do about it? I bet you this though, with the magnifying glass that's going to be on Garvin, I bet he walks the straightest, most narrow line there is, especially since he was a defender of Sarver. So it may be a good thing. It may be a bad thing. This is one of those things only time will tell, and see how much he's involved day to day. The one thing I would say is Garvin going to be a person that's going to have a face there? I mean, Sarver sat front row in that corner all the time. If you were a supporter of him, can you be a person that's visibly there as much without you now taking some heat saying, wait a second, why'd he pick you? Weren't you one of his supporters? Weren't you on his side? Did you know about this? Were you hanging with him when he said this? Were you now he's on the hot seat. So let's find out what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll see him courtside at all, because, you know, the fans alone will, you know, the ones who are educated enough to know exactly who he is will probably give him the business. And, you know, the appointing of Sam Garvin, obviously, it's one of Sarver's cronies, right? And, you know, Dave King wrote a great piece for Brightside this week kind of talking about how, you know, in this situation, Sarver has a hand in picking it, and his kind of he can justify it going to the NBA and saying, hey, like, when I'm back in a year, like, I want to make sure that the boat hasn't been rocked a ton and somebody doesn't come in and just guts my organization in the year that I'm gone. So it makes sense. When I heard the name Sam Garvin, I'm like, okay, that's exactly who I thought it was going to be. It's the minority owner who's a vice chairman who is in bed with Sarver, right? He just, like you said, walks a straight line with him. What I think about more when it comes to Sam Garvin being now in charge is like, what decisions are actually going to be made in this next year? Are the Phoenix Suns, as from a roster standpoint, now handicapped because he doesn't want to make any big decisions because he's looking at it as like, hey, I just got to get it back to Sarver. So, you know, when trade deadline comes around and maybe James Jones wants to move a Jay Crowder contract or something like that, that he's not going to support that decision because he doesn't know, you know, he doesn't want to rock the boat. Or does he just reach out to Bobby Sarver and be like, hey, what do you think of this?
What he, I mean, let's be honest. Every time an owner, I don't care what he gets in, this happened with Ursay and the Colts. Let's just be honest. I mean, we're all adults here. There is no way in hell that a guy who runs an organization is going to be suspended by the guy that he is one of the owners who he hired. Because let's always remember, the commissioner works for the owners. The owners don't work for the commissioner. So we're honestly supposed to believe every time we hear, oh, they're suspended, they can't, that these things don't work. That there's not a call made saying, hey, you know, just wondering if you were still around, is this something you would do? And how are the kids, by the way?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I don't care if it's Garvin. I don't care who it is. Owners are never suspended in my eye. The only people that are ever truly suspended are players, mm-hmm. because they are truly the workers, the decision makers. If I did something really stupid or said something really stupid, and the sports cave took a hit for it, and I suspend myself, are the people that report to me going to say, well, better not ask him, he suspended himself? No, they're going to text me and ask me, and I'm just going to now be behind the scenes. So everyone in Phoenix and everyone around the place saying, well, he's gone for a year. Oh, okay. He's gone and not doing anything for the year. But I just, that part I find funny whenever I hear that. He'll be involved in the trades. He'll be involved in the contracts. He just won't be as outwardly involved as he would have. But if we're really being honest, he hasn't been in the past year outwardly involved. So it probably won't be any different than it is now.
That's a good
unless
point.
Unless he's forced
yeah.
out.
Yeah, I think his involvement's kind of lessened and lessened. And as he's trusted James Jones and Monty these last couple of years, it seems like, you know, at least from the outside, that his involvement's kind of been at an all-time low, which probably is more than most owners on its own. But I think PLR's point is on point, because it's pretty obvious that he'll find a way to stay in communication. It's just going to be more calculated and under the radar, I think. You can't really enforce some of these rules that they threw in there. Like, how is the NBA going to enforce that unless they have someone like tailing him 24/7? So, you know, tapping into his phones, you know, going, you know, crazy. But I just don't see, you know, that's the one thing with Garvin taking over. I think that was kind of an obvious fit with based off him backing him. And I'm a little bit concerned, though, you know, if the domino effect doesn't continue to pressure him out, that this is just kind of a 1 year thing where in Sarver's mind, he's like, oh, 1 year from now, everyone's going to forget about it. I can just step back into my role. You know, no damage done. He doesn't seem too apologetic. So I think in order for this to actually happen, there has to be more than, and there's already been like some, you know, sponsor threats, you know, city of Phoenix, NBA players, but it has to continue to snowball into something larger than this. So that's the hope right now. Just hope that it continues down this path. And, you know, it starts with John. I'm probably going to butcher his last name, but John Najafi, minority owner for the Suns, released a statement saying that he was calling for the resignation of Robert Sarver. And that's kind of right around the time that I think Suns fans were like, okay, it's getting real now. Mm-hmm. So what are you guys' thoughts on that?
No, I mean, that was a big statement, you know, because, again, you can have a lot of people commenting on it from the outside looking in, you know, and giving their takes. Brian Windhorst, Jalen Rose, you know, like you said, Chris Paul, LeBron James, everybody kind of giving their two cents. But it doesn't matter if it doesn't impact the organization. But when you have one of the vice chairmen, one of the three vice chairmen of the Phoenix Suns coming forth and asking for the resignation of the majority owner, that's big. That really kind of that's a huge domino to fall. And it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the minority orders respond moving forward, and if that is enough ammunition in that gun to ultimately, you know, do the right thing, in my opinion, and oust Sarver. So, that was the bombshell, I think, of everything that's been going on over the past 3 days. It was hearing John make that statement. I was like, oh, damn, Ish is getting real now.
as Monty would say, it's internal. So it makes it a little more, there's a little more weight behind that swing, you know? So PLR, what do you think about that statement from John?
I think it's important. I think it's needed. I'm glad he did it. Here's what I'll say. This is why this situation is so delicate, though. The city of Phoenix is only going to do so much to not shoot themselves in the foot. Players are only going to do so much to not stop their livelihood. Now, I want us to think big picture here. If you're I know LeBron sent that tweet, but I'm going to say I think it went backwards. I bet he called Chris before he sent that tweet just to make sure they were on the same page. That's the tweet I don't think that just got fired up, during a commercial of NCIS New Orleans. I think that one had a little bit more thought behind it. But in saying that, this is where we have to be careful. If Chris Paul did not boycott with the situation in the Clippers, at the age he's at now, with the team that he's on, that's good, that still has a shot at winning a title, is he going to dissuade people from coming to Phoenix to play with him? Is he going to choose this as his hill to die on and not try to win an NBA title? If PayPal, and I applaud PayPal for standing up and saying it, but I'm going to say something that's not popular. Go down and arrest a drug dealer on the corner. As soon as he's gone, someone else is filling that void. There's seven other companies waiting to slap their patch on that son's jersey, because that son's jersey is not just seen with that name here in Phoenix. It's on TNT. It's on NBA. It's on ABC. It's everywhere. So I applaud that. But the tricky part is to force the person you want out that did the wrong without damaging everything else. And then you have to sit there and weigh the pros and the cons. Is getting him out at all cost, if he's going to go kicking and screaming, the way to go to damage the team, the players, the advertisement, and the city that just spent a whole bunch of money to help revive that old building? So I love it when everyone comes out guns a-blazing. It's like when we had all those Nimrod idiots saying, I'm going to boycott Nike, but they were wearing Converse All-Stars, and with their simple brains not knowing that Converse is owned by Nike, saying, well, at least it doesn't have a swoosh, but it's going in the same pocket, idiot. So I love it when people come out, but when you boycott, you have to be able to see it through. And when you see it through with this one, who are you really hurting in the end? So this is going to be a very delicate thing to do, especially for someone who doesn't take the penicillin holding their nose. They're going to fight this one way or the other.
Hey, let's take just a second to talk about our friends at DraftKings. The NFL's opening week was action-packed and is just getting started. Get ready for week 2 and week 3 of touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on any football game and get $200 in free bets instantly. You want more action? Everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings' early win promotion. It's simple. This Sunday, bet on any NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team ends up losing. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TBPN to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code TBPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Hey, and you know what? Lately, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts while I'm recovering from this shoulder surgery that I went through. Take a look at my Twitter feed at DaveKingNBA and my new profile picture, and you can see how serious that shoulder surgery was. So I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. I listen to basketball podcasts, news podcasts, all kinds of stuff, and it's been great. One reason why it's been great, because I'm using my new Raycon wireless earbuds to do it. They have a look, a feel, and a sound that's better than ever. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, you know, so you can size to your ear, They're so comfortable and they will not budge. They don't fall out when you're running. They don't fall out when you're hanging upside down. And they don't fall out when you're sitting on the couch. Raycons give you 8 hours of playtime and 32 hours of play life. 32-hour battery life, that's a lot. And they're priced just right. You can get it for half the price of those other premium audio earbuds and things like that. It's no wonder they have over 50,000 five-star reviews. There are three customizable sound profiles. Earbud tap functions so you can move things around. Noise isolation is really great, and the awareness mode is really, really good too. Go to buyraycon.com today and use code TBPN15. That's TBPN15 to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's TBPN15 at buyraycon.com to score 15% off. Buyraycon.com, code TBPN. All right, now back to the show.
Well said. Yeah, I think it's, especially with Sarver, like we all know he's very stubborn, and it's going to be tough to get him out of here without any, you know, backlash or drama. I think he's going to fight to the death. That's just kind of like what I expect as a Suns fan. I feel like this guy's never gonna leave, just being the pessimist I am of this whole situation. But I think, you know, we're at a good point now. There's a lot more to be done though. So the next point that kind of snowballed into this was the NBA Players Association executive director, Tamika Tremiglio. I have no idea how to pronounce that either. So that's two botched names in a row. She spoke out on behalf of the NBA players saying, "We are absolutely calling for a lifetime ban on Robert Sarver." And I thought that was pretty, you know, to speak on behalf of the players as the, you know, in her position, that's definitely a step towards the right direction. We're going to see if that translates to players sitting out preseason games or maybe training camp or something along those lines. We could talk about that a little bit later. But John, what are your thoughts on that? I don't know if you saw that, but you know.
Oh yeah, and it was powerful. I mean, again, yeah. It was, you know, they asked her again, like, so are you speaking in part of all the players? Like, I'm just making sure, you know, I'm making this a very defined question. She's like, yeah. So again, I'm speaking on we all want a lifetime ban of Robert Sarver. So again, you know, to PLR's point, it's going to be a delicate situation, but you're seeing all these little things fall. And that's another big one right there, you know, and once I heard that, I went, you know, kind of down that rabbit hole of like, uh-oh, are we going to see players sitting out? Are we going to see people, you know, truly falling up and falling through with the words that they're putting out there? So it's going to be interesting to monitor with training camp starting here in what, next week? You know, in the next 10 days, they're going to be training camp, preseason starting. And knowing that, you know, teams, you know, the worst thing of all of this is it gives the Phoenix Suns organization such a black eye, because the team, under the tutelage and leadership of James Jones with Monty Williams at the helm, has done such a great job over the past 4 or 5 years of really resetting the culture here in Phoenix, of one that players want to come play here. We are a destination once again. And then obviously when the news broke last year, everyone was kind of like, okay, you know, locally we knew that he was kind of a dirtbag. Even globally, people kind of knew that if you're tuned into basketball, you knew he was kind of a dirtbag. But now the average person is talking about this situation. You know, at my work the other day, I had a couple older people and they came up and they're like, I heard them talking about Robert Sarver. I'm like, these are people I never would imagine talking about basketball with. And I sat and had a conversation with them for about 5 minutes. It's like, we're really hitting this next level of societal pressure. And, you know, the NBAPA is just another domino in the stack that's starting to fall.
Yeah. PLR, what was your take on that player association comment?
Again, navigating one, they have to come out and do this. You know, they couldn't be silent. I saw where someone said, well, they haven't heard from CJ McCollum. When it comes, I'm a person that says I'm always going to give a pass on individual people because they have individual lives. Dude could be in Spain with his family. Who knows, right? But they have to come out very strong with this. That's honestly their job. Again, I'm just – the NBA Players Association, they're going to come out strong, but – are they going to dissuade a player that say is offered a max deal from coming to Phoenix? That's what's next when that happens? I doubt it, because what are they going to say? Oh, don't take max money. I'm in this weird spot with this. Even with Najafi, I'm in a weird spot. I mean, his company bailed out Paula Deen when she was headed south, for her transgressions. Everyone in life, especially when it comes to this much money in sports and anything and TV and networks and city. And I love it when people say, well, I do sports, leave politics out of it. Politics are all wound in. And at the end of the day, everyone's going to do what's best serves their interest. Right now, it makes sense for the players' union to poke holes at everything. No one is saying Sarver's a good dude. No one is saying that whatsoever. No one is saying they would be happy to see him out. Hell, most people wanted him out before any of this happened, and it had nothing to do with his asshole behavior. It had to do with the fact that he ran a great organization in the ground until he finally decided, let me hire someone that knows what they're doing and maybe go sit in this corner and play with my Legos. Until that happened, most people wanted him out of town anyway. All this did was add that extra layer on to say, we knew dude was a jerk. Now he's proved he's a jerk, and now we want him out. And that's why I think whoever is his PR guy, they did it the wrong way. I think, honestly, Phoenix has a problem with PR dudes, because I saw Kyler Murray screw the pooch in a press conference before the season. And now this guy, no one knows how to just say, my bad, I'm sorry. I know this country gives second chances, and I'm begging for one, because I've been around enough people to tell me I'm wrong, to know that if I have these voices telling me that I'm wrong. I don't understand how so many people in the city, guys, let's start our own PR firm and just we'll call it the obvious idiot. And so when you do something that's obviously idiotic, come to us and we will tell you how to fall on the sword so you can start the forgiveness pattern, because that's all it is. So I don't get it.
Sounds like a great business plan. There's our $1 million idea right there. Yeah, we need it. We need it here in Phoenix, man. We can't get anything right in the presser.
That's great. Oh, man. Yeah, Blaze Megatron in the chat asked if has anyone talked to Greta about this. You know, I'm gonna pull some strings, talk to my people, see if we can get Greta on the show. But yeah, no, I think
I was just watching her press conference yesterday, that old press conference from 2018, 19. It was fantastic. God bless you, Greta.
She's a gem. Yeah, I think you both made great points there. I think to John's point, just talking about how we finally, it seems like the Suns culture is finally to a respectable point before that report first came out last year. Not just on the court, but just all the off the court stuff. It seems like, okay, we're finally reputable, people want to come here. And then this kind of just sets it back. But, the good news is if the situation is resolved quickly and Sarver's outed and, they bring in an owner and, get good publicity over here, then I think that's going to shift right back around to, with Monty and James Jones in charge and Booker as the face of the franchise, it's a quick fix. They just got to get it done. And that's the bottom line. I think obviously there's, how they've treated employees. That's just a cultural thing that they're going to have to fix internally too. So that's something that we haven't really even touched on. But I thought it was kind of not funny, but funny that one of the former Suns employees that was a part of the investigation the day before that report came out tweeted like adding the NBA saying, hey, do you remember this report? Are you guys going to do anything about this? And then the next day that the story dropped. So that was wild.
Well, the great thing though is Robert Sarver, as a part of this suspension and fine, has to complete a program focused on respect and appropriate workplace conduct. So everything will be fixed because he goes to that. Because we've all gone to those kind of things, and those work every time.
Yeah, bulletproof.
Yeah, he gets a PowerPoint presentation. It's gonna be really tough on him.
So the next point I wanted to just kind of, I think this is the final domino that will lead to, possibly more pressure. We talked about a little bit, but just the statement from PayPal, essentially saying they're not going to renew the sponsorship should Sarver remain involved with the Suns organization. They paid $3 million last season. So that's good chunk of money. You know, I think if it's more than just PayPal, obviously Kia came out and pretty much, you know, said they supported Sarver. So sometimes it's better to shut up than to release a statement. That's, you know, PLR is firm, you know, the obvious idiot could have taken care of that for you. But I think, you know, I think if there's a ripple effect and we get multiple sponsors coming out saying, you know, we're done here, if Sarver is still in charge, that's really what the final nail in the coffin could be, along with the players. So what was your thoughts on that, PLR, just seeing the PayPal statement?
It honestly didn't move me, because the amount of money, like I said, that they are willing to pull out, I guarantee you there's someone else here that's willing to do that exact same amount. Or you know what? They may even get the cut rate Sarver budget discount. Right now, you can sponsor the Suns, but the Sarver is an asshole rate of 50% less than what PayPal did. I mean, it's out there, and it's just a matter of that. I appreciate PayPal. I'm glad they did what they did. A lot of times companies do what's good for them, for the internal part of their company. And so we got to say it like that. PayPal does a lot of things in terms, we all know, with credit cards, with other things. Well, if they have a very diverse workplace, for them, their own employees may be leaning on them to do something like that. If Kia, yeah, on the other hand, if most of their stuff is manufacturing and car sales and stuff like that, well, what is their demographic? And will their demographic be moved one way or the other if they don't? What if it's not as diverse? Maybe they don't have that same pressure. So for them, sticking in doesn't really matter. And that's why I think it makes a difference, but it doesn't make a difference. What PayPal did was great, but again, there's a level of grandstanding. And I'll tell you what, and I'm hearing that not just from them. If you listen to local radio, you're hearing people say things, and you know that they're with Sarver without saying they're with Sarver. I mean, they'll come out and say, well, I'm obviously not going to agree with someone who says something racist. Well, of course you're not, you idiot, because you'd be off the air in 2 seconds. I also hate when they go to the obvious, well, I talked to two players and they name them, and of course they're the black players that didn't hear a word. Well, did you talk to Earl Watson? Did you talk to the black people that heard something? Did you talk to the ladies that heard something? Or did you go to the ladies that didn't, that you know? And did you go to the safe black? Again, I'll get in trouble for saying that. To the safe black people that you know. Yeah, so you're really protecting them by saying that. And so PayPal, long way around that, did the same thing. They just protected their interests. And I don't blame them for that. Kia, shoot, we don't give a crap. Our cars are manufactured in Tennessee, man. In Tennessee, I don't give a crap about what's going on in Arizona. We're going to keep this money going. We're going to keep pushing out these Kia Souls that sell off the rack to street racers down in Tucson. Keep it moving.
Well, I think what Kia did is they just announced that, excuse me, that they want to be the next patch on the Suns jersey. That's all they were doing. They're getting ahead of the game, you know? I mean, it's all, you know, again,
4D chess.
Yeah, exactly. They're playing 4D chess there. Oh, PayPal just pulled out, or they're threatening to pull out. Sweet. Yeah, we're with the Suns. We would love to be on a jersey. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, and you know what their statement will say? It'll say we support the Phoenix Suns and all that they do for the organization and for the city and everything they do in the community. Although we do not agree with what Robert Sarver say, we find it disingenuous to punish those that could benefit for everything we could do by remaining a sponsor of the Phoenix Suns. And that's exactly how it would be written by the PR firm. And you know,
obvious idiots right there. That's the right answer. Just write that down. Give that to people.
I think you're on to something. PR, I'm gonna look into that domain name, try to look at prices.
Get that LLC quick. It's true, though. I mean, seeing PayPal do what they did, you know, I'm with PLR. I applaud them for doing that because, again, it adds some financial pressure. Minority owners can use that as fuel to the fire if they want to say, hey, well, now he's potentially going to cost us money, too, which is the number one thing. Money talks. Will Sarver walk because of the money? So it's another key lever in all of this. But, again, to PLR's point, and he's 100% right, people are going to line up out the door. You know, sponsors will line up out the door to get on a jersey. And there's so many companies that are willing to do that. And if they just use the obvious idiots, you know, form that PLR just gave them, they're covered. So why wouldn't they? You know, so again, kudos to PayPal for doing that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, unless it truly puts pressure on the minority owners and they can use that as fuel to their fire relative to Robert Sarver and getting him ousted, it ultimately doesn't mean anything.
100%. And I think to your point, it's just, you know, this next month is crucial because if, you know, the longer this goes on, I think the worse, the longer he could just kind of that mindset I said before of just, you know, time heals everything. People will forget, you know, I'm just going to stay under the radar and just come back and take my role. So I think the pressure needs to be ramped up quite a bit for this to really move the needle. And that starts with the sponsors and the players as well. So, you know, I think we can get into, I'm just going to skip ahead to like, just ask this question since we're already kind of on that topic, but do you guys think we'll do true or false here? Will any players on the Suns boycott training camp or preseason games if Sarver doesn't step down? True or false? We'll start with PLR here.
I'm going to say no, hell no, and they shouldn't. Why should they impact their careers and their pockets? I'll state the obvious here. I'm the black dude on the panel, and it gets old as the person. If you're the person affected by something, why should you always champion a change? And so I've always believed that, and that goes back to me growing up in Chicago and talking to my relatives that grew up in the South. Why is it that the person that's offended have to be the person to smooth over for the person that did the offending? So why do the players have to take that career hit that, oh, I can't believe they played? Well, why not? The punishment goes to the person that did wrong, not to the, it's not on the person that got wrong to try to fix the problem. So I hope they don't boycott. I hope they go after their title. Let's say they boycott and 2 years from now, Sarver's put back in. He's going to own the Suns for years. And even if he's kicked out, he's going to financially gain from being a jerk. They're going to lose a year or time off their career, which is only a limited time. So I hope to hell they don't boycott for themselves. I hope they stay selfish with that and ignore any pressure that would come their way.
Yeah, I'm going to say false as well. I don't think that they're going to sit out. I think that, you know, PLR hit all the great points that I was going to hit. I was going to say it's, you know, in the long term, it doesn't make sense for them. Cause again, if you're one of those people who tries to stand up and truly try to affect change, you know, and you think that's the best way to do it, when Sarver's back next year, you're going to be in Memphis or you're going to be, you know, he's going to send you to Minnesota or something because he's watching and he's taking notes. So it does, I don't think that that's the most effective way to create change in this situation.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. And I don't think it would ever be like just two or three players that would do it. It would have to be the whole team that does it mm-hmm. as one. Like that's the only way I think it could possibly make a statement without, you know, people taking, you know, putting their head on a spike basically. But yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think something more symbolic, like pregame or like, you know, something that they do as a whole is more likely, but yeah, I don't see it happening, but if it did, it would definitely ramp up that pressure and put more attention on a situation that, you know, by the time preseason starts, who knows, you know, there's going to be, you know, 12, 13 more stories that pop up between now and then. That's just how the NBA moves. So, you know, I think drawing more attention on it, if nothing happens, then, you know, that's something the players can do. But I think, you know, the silence from a lot of the players and owners is deafening, as someone in the comments mentioned. I think, you know, they know this is, you know, 1 year from now, there's a very good chance that Sarver could still be back. So you got to take that into account. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's just the reality. Mm-hmm. All right. And the next true or false question. So, you know, going a little off topic now, we'll talk about Dennis Schroeder since he just signed with the Lakers.
Thank God. So tired of talking about Sarver. Let's talk basketball, baby.
Dennis Schroeder, there's a report that he chose the Lakers over the Suns and the Raptors. I believe. So what are you guys' thoughts, first off, just on that signing, second on the Sun showing interest, assuming that report is true?
Well, I'm glad that our name was linked to him, because I was hoping that they were looking into him. Ultimately, is his choice. You know, Dennis Schroeder is just one of those weird stories, right? Kind of a notorious bad locker room guy, somebody who bet on himself after his last run with the Lakers and was looking to go forth. And I forget what the Lakers offered him, but it was a nice contract. I think it was upwards of $80 million, you know, somewhere up there, 4 years, $80 million, somewhere right in there. And he turned it down thinking he could get more, and then ultimately he ended up in Boston on a vet minimum, and didn't work out there. They actually got rid of him. They started to win games and play great defense, and, you know, he ended up, what, in Houston? So while Dennis Schroeder's been one of those names that a lot of Suns fans have really been kind of attached to this offseason, making arguments such as, you know, well, he played with Chris Paul in OKC. I think he'd be a great addition. You know, I think we need to – Dennis Schroeder not being a part of this team, I'm okay with. The fact that he's in LA just makes me kind of laugh a little bit, because it's just kind of typical LA stuff. You know, they like all these veteran minimums. They think that, oh yeah, if we bring in these vets, everything's going to work out great. We watched that last season just crumble to the ground, and I'm okay with that. So go back to LA. I love rooting against you, Dennis Schroeder. And again, I think that I want campaign to be successful, and bringing in Dennis Schroeder is an opportunity to kind of negate that and potentially put some pressure on campaign, but I'd rather kind of stick with the roster we have than bring in Dennis Schroeder. And I think I'm in the minority when I have that kind of statement, because a lot of people really wanted Schroeder here. But I've never really – there's something about the guy. You know, I hear the locker room stories, and the last thing you need is to break up the organic chemistry that this Phoenix Suns team has by bringing somebody in who ultimately wants to put his best interest ahead of the team. And that's what he tries to do and has done in the past, where he's like, listen, I'm trying to get mine so I can get that big contract that I fucked up and I didn't get – when I was leaving LA last time. So have fun hanging out with Pat Bev over there in LA, buddy.
PLR.
Does this mean that Abdul Nader's coming back?
Oh, God, no.
I'm just kidding.
Too soon.
Too soon? All right. Well, I honestly wasn't in the I want, you know, Dennis Schroeder here camp. I just didn't think it would fit. I haven't heard the locker room stuff as much. I just don't think it'll fit with what they're doing here. I think the Suns need to make a move. If they're going to make a move, it has to be a move. I don't think Dennis Schroeder is what's standing between them and holding up a trophy. And so if you're going to pick up a person just to have a backup, I don't think you upset the apple cart to do it. And yeah, he did screw himself out of a whole lot of money, which he'll never see again. And he went back to the Lakers on the Lakers reunion revenge tour that's going to be coming to a city near you. If you've played for them in the last 3 years, call them. They'll take you back. And so I just – look, every time I see the Lakers, I giggle a little bit, because this team isn't put together to win. It's not a winning roster. Everything they're doing is obviously saying – they're trying to find a sucker to get them from under the Westbrook contract. What I love about the NBA is they're not taking it. They're not doing it. For so many years, the NBA did everything in its power to help LeBron win titles. And I think the NBA is seeing now, as great as he is, as great of a player as he was throughout his career, and one of the top, you know, five players of all time, there's a shift in the league now. And we're more watching the Lakers play because of their name and because the NBA still thinks we're that much into it outside the LA market. But when you look at things, young kids are wearing Morant jerseys and Steph jerseys, and they're starting in, what's my man in Minnesota who just got in trouble for what he said, Anthony Edwards. The young people are shifting. And as they shift, I think the NBA is in that position where they're trying to balance, how do we keep the Lakers, who aren't good, relevant with one of the greatest players, while at the same time promoting all these young guys who the young people actually want to see. So by him going back, whatever, I could care less. They could bring in, you know, Dennis Edwards, the old lead singer of the Temptations. At this point, he'd probably help them more than Dennis Schroeder. So good for them. Get your money. Play ball. We'll see you when we kick your ass again when you come to Phoenix.
Yeah, I totally agree. I have no real interest in Schroeder for the Suns. I think it was just interesting they're noted in that group. And yeah, like, you don't even get me started on the national media with how they cover the league. It's just, it gets me fired up every time. Just, it's just the Laker talk, and you know, it's getting very old. You know, the smallest thing is like a headline there, and then if that happened in Charlotte, no one would give a shit. So it's just, you know, it's kind of tired at this point.
I'll tell you though, Suns Facebook is like up in arms because Schroeder isn't a member of the Suns now. Oh,
I'm glad I'm not.
It's better. Yes, it's better. It's better to want what you don't have than have what you don't want. And when you talk about Charlotte, what's funny is whenever the true king flexes his muscle and wants something known, the NBA drops LA, it drops New York, it drops everything, and pops out to hear what 23 has to say. So I think it's funny that we have all these people in the NBA that try to rule everything. But the real ruler is out there in Charlotte owning a team. And if he said there's a press conference right now, nobody else could hold one because everybody wants to hear what he says. So I just find that funny. And I find it entertaining that whenever he decides to flex his muscle, everything else falls to the side. And what did Jordan say? We got to go find out what Jordan said. Could you stop talking? Don't you see Jordan on TV? So I just find that funny that he uses his powers for good.
Yeah, and I think honestly going into next year, I'm with John. I think you let campaign have a chance to bounce back. If he's not to his old self, then you have a trade deadline for a reason, and you can, you know, there's ways. I agree with PLR too that if they make a move, it has to be a splash. It has to move the needle. But at the same time, I think the bench right now is one of my biggest concerns with this team. Like, there's some specific issues that they haven't addressed, that, you know, they need more creation. They need someone that you can get the ball to this guy and he can get you a bucket. You need someone more athletic that can get to the rim. And I think just some size on the, like, some forwards with size. That's the other thing is, you know, so there's definitely some areas they can improve on the edges, but are those things going to move the needle? I don't know. But I do know that right now, you know, deploying campaign and Landry Shamet for the, you know, little champagne backcourt duo. I'm fine to give him another run as, you know, CPs and books, you know, reserves for this season. And, you know, if they got off to a hot start, then I don't think that's really something you even need to address. I think their issues are a little bit bigger than that. So we'll see, you know, who knows if the, you know, I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat on and say, you know, maybe the Sarver and Durant thing where it was connected, and maybe we're just kind of waiting on a solution there before the NBA allows Durant to go to Phoenix. So who knows? There's still a lot of stuff to happen.
Zona, you know something, though? I honestly believe this team isn't necessarily another player away as much as they're a Booker saying, you know what, last year was BS. The way the season ended was BS. The way I played my last game was BS. Everybody, get on my freaking back and watch me carry y'all asses to a final. And there's a mentality point, a pit bull inside that has to come with that. And everyone does it differently. But we watched Golden State do this last year, and we watched Steph have that baby face the whole time before KD, with KD. But the real Steph came out like, get on my back and watch what I do, and watch how I led us to a title with KD, without KD, watch me do it again. We watched certain guys do it quietly, like a Tim Duncan. I don't have to say anything. Just ride me. We watched Kobe Bryant do it very loudly, say, beep everybody. Watch me do this. Y'all either with me or you're against me. Let's roll. I think Booker's personality is more, let's do this. And I think you have to have that. Take FM radio and reverse those two letters. He has to let that inner in him come out more. And I think that would do more for this team winning than going out, finding, you know, a backup point guard that once that even Houston didn't want.
Yeah. 100%. He's got the mentality. He's got that, you know, they always talk about the Mamba mentality. Booker hasn't. I think it's one of the reasons why so many Suns fans just love him. And you know, he supplanted Sean Marion as my favorite player, and that takes a lot. You know, I mean, I held Sean Marion up for a very long time. I just love that junkyard dog mentality, the get it done mentality, and Booker has it, and I'm excited to see what he does this year.
Yeah, and I think I 100% agree with PLR as well that Booker's leap is really what it all depends on. I think, you know, Dave King had a series on Brightside where we kind of talked about the leaps of each player, which one's most important. And I think we talked about it on one of the previous episodes, and my answer was Booker 100% has to get into that top five status, top 10, or even top seven, where it's like, you know, on a day in, day out basis, this guy's going to carry you. And there's moments where, you know, he doesn't, and that's fine. He's still young. He's still learning. You know, it's his second playoff run, and he's dealing with a hamstring injury. So I think at the end of the day, it's just last season, everyone called it the revenge tour. I don't think it was a revenge tour. I think they lost in the finals and they thought they wanted to get back. They weren't embarrassed. This playoff run, they were embarrassed. And so I'm more excited to see how they respond to that. I think they'll probably treat the season like a marathon. They're not going to worry too much about wins and losses throughout the regular season as much as they did last year. But I think when the playoffs come, that's when the revenge tour really starts. And that's when I think, you know, Booker has a chance to really cement his legacy. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, the regular season doesn't mean anything anymore, right? We got to get to the playoffs, and we have to perform in the playoffs now. So it's like you look at the depth of the team. It's important because obviously that's what allows you to garner wins throughout a long regular season. But, you know, the bench and we have to have that key kind of 8 to 9 players. So when the playoffs come around, we can truly execute that revenge tour.
Yep, 100%. All right, we'll close it out with this last true or false to just kind of keep it on topic with the original topic was true or false. Robert Sarver will be back for the 23-24 season. Start with PLR on this one.
Here's what's crazy. I say false, but I think he'll be back the year after. I think he'll be reinstated, but I think he'll lay in the background. I think the amount of pressure it takes to force an owner out comes not just from internal, but the other owners have to say it. Without that smoking gun, I think the other owners are very reluctant to step up and say anything. And because of that, and we know his want to fight, I think someone may pull his coat and somewhere he may hire us as his PR agency, and he'll fall on that sword before it's all said and done. And then he'll kind of sit out a year. And then after next year, he'll come to a game and then maybe another game. And then I also think it also depends on what the Suns do. If the Suns are successful, I think that gives him some other rights. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you something. Rich people have money, right? That's why they're billionaires. They have money. What an NBA owner, an NFL owner, an MLB owner, they all have in common is there's very few of them. So that's where the ego part comes in, because even if you reward him with money to get out, that prestige that there's only 30 of them in this world come, you know, are there. That's hard to give up when you're that successful and the money doesn't mean as much as the ego and the prestige. And if he goes out like this, he's going to go out, yeah, with money, but his ego's gone. It's taken a hit. His prestige is gone. And he's known as a racist woman hater. I don't think any billionaire is going to want to do that, because now he can't go eat at, you know, at the upper restaurants in Scottsdale without someone giving him a side eye. I think he fights this through. I think he falls on his sword eventually. And I think he's back, not next year, but the year after.
I'll just say false because it's what I want. I don't know if it'll actually be true or not, but, you know, much akin to a lot of the listeners of the Solar Panel, we all want him gone. So I'll just say false. He's not a part of this organization next year. It's going to take a lot. He will go kicking and screaming. Unfortunately, it's Robert Sarver. It's going to take a lot. And hopefully it doesn't, you know, he doesn't take the organization down with him. He doesn't, you know, impose such just destructive force on his way out. But I'm going to say false just because it's what I want.
I feel that. I'm going to go with true just because I'm trying to pull the reverse jinx here. I think, you know, and just being a Suns fan, like, I think we all kind of know, maybe this is just me, but I think you guys can all relate. It's just like, I expect the worst, and usually it happens with the Suns. So I'm just going to say true. I think he'll be back. I don't think anything is going to change other than he's going to be under the radar for a year. Hope I'm wrong, but that's kind of my take on it. Unless things really change in the next couple months, I think he'll be back. That's just my gut feeling. Hope I'm wrong.
Me too.
All right, and we'll wrap it up. Thanks, guys, for jumping on. We'll be back with Dave next week, and appreciate you guys coming on. PLR, let us know where we can find you.
You can get me just about everywhere lately at the Sports Cave on the Twitter. Follow me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Sports Cave is with the K. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. The Cave Show is the show. So we have all this fun stuff as well. I appreciate it's always hanging out with you guys. Love to my boy Dave King, a soul dude, and he don't heal like we used to, but he heal nonetheless. That's my man.
All right, John, thanks for hopping on. Let everyone know where they can find you as well.
No, of course. Again, thanks for having me. Dave, get better. We need you, buddy. Give some high fives. You can read my writing at brightsideofthesun.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Darth Voita. And, of course, check out the podcast, Suns Jam Session Pod. We go live every Wednesday night, and then once the season begins, we're live after every game. So you can follow that show at Suns Jam on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I don't know why, but we're there. But, yeah, you can follow us in all those places.
Hey, TikTok's the future for marketing, man. You know, once it is. Once we get PLR's PR firm going, we're going to need to recruit on there. So
that's where we're advertised.
Obvious right, idiot.
Just got to do this one time for Dave, in honor of Dave. There we go. Just had to throw that in there. But yeah, thanks everyone in the chat for being active and listening. We'll see you guys next Saturday. Signing out.